everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee with the AMAA Masters Radio Show. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all the great stuff that goes along with this season of joy. And we're in the Christmas spirit here at the radio station. We're at the Christmas spirit, the Lee Household. And we're in the Christmas spirit, the Sport Karate Museum. And we're so happy to be in your home tonight. You know, as I said earlier, we're coming up on our first year anniversary. In fact, this show is the second to the last show of the season. And two more shows left in 2017. And it has been a rock and roll roller coaster year. You know, I started out doing it once every 2 weeks. That's right, almost a year ago. And Hunter Jesse Bowen and Mr. Corey encouraged me to go ahead and do it once a week, and that's what we've done. Every week, we've interviewed some incredible people within the martial arts, not just the masters and pioneers, but also we've touched on the new breed. And what we're going to do on our next show, our last show of the season, I'll have a co-host with the great Goldie Mack, and we're going to go over everybody we've interviewed. That's right, we're going to little tidbit and little memory of each one person that we've interviewed this year, and that will be a fun show. Again, happy holidays to everybody. I really mean that. I want you to, no matter what the world is going through or maybe what you're going through in your personal life, you know, remember this is a time of giving, and it's a time of sharing your love and joy throughout the world of what you are. And as martial artists, we have a lot to cheer about. We have a lot to be joyful for. And I just encourage you to go out and help someone, make someone smile, give some joy to somebody, and let them realize that this is a time of spirit, whether you're in the spirit of if it's cold, if it's rainy, if it's hot, it's Christmas. And God bless you all, and I hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. We have a very special show tonight, and this is we're going to end the show this year with talking about all the old guys and the guys we talked to. But, you know, throughout the year, I've touched on the base of the new breed of martial artists, the people that were the real young people when, let's say, when I was growing up and doing martial arts. And now they're 26, 30, 35, even 40 years old. I know that doesn't sound really old, but when you've been in the martial arts since you were 4, 5, or 6 years old, and now you're pushing 30 or 40 years old, you seem like you've been doing it a long time. And that's what I like to do with the show. I like to bounce around. And tonight, that's what I've done. I've found someone that's been in the martial arts a long time, since she was young. She started at 9 years old. And, I believe that when you start at that young age, especially if you're influenced by certain people, real people in martial arts, you turn out to be a very special person. And that's what this person that we're going to be interviewing tonight with. Before I bring her on, though, I want to say again, the heart of our show is the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And we're going into our third edition. And this is since I've been involved with the book and the radio show. I've seen Hunter Jesse Bowen turn it into a pretty incredible adventure. It's a full package, too. Not only do you receive the book, but you also are recognized as a person of notability in the American martial arts. You have an invitation, a personal invitation, to come to the Living Legends Award Banquet. Normally, last year was in Washington, D.C., where we honored Master Jun Ri. You also have an opportunity to receive a beautiful Hall of Fame ring and a beautiful plaque that comes with the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. Now, if you're interested in being a part of this book, we have an interesting adventure. You simply call. That's right. You simply call Hunter Jesse Bowen and tell him of your history. And it's not a how many trophies you've won or, you know, how many movies you've been in. We just want to know your story. And we want to share that with the world. And to do that, call directly at 919-618-8075. Again, that's 919-618-8075. 8075, and that's Hockey Jesse Goins' personal number. Now, he's on the line right now, and, you know, it's Christmas, and I asked Mr. Goins, what can we do for my show tonight to do something special? And I hope he'll do it next week, too. But he said, you know, Professor Gary Lee, I want to do something special. So this is what he's done. He's actually going to offer the third edition Legends book, the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book, the beautiful edition of the book, for normally sells for, I think, $60 or $70. He's letting it go for $29.95 tonight during the show. That's right. If you're interested and you want to give a great present for your martial artist in your life, someone that he's probably got everything in the world, but he doesn't have this book, you can purchase it tonight for the incredible price of $29.95. And you can call directly at 919-618-8075. Now, if you'd like to purchase the book online, you can also go to Barnes & Noble, you know, Amazon.com, or our dear friends at Century Martial Arts. And we're excited about this, and we're excited about you being involved. So if you have someone that you feel that has the notoriety to be involved in the martial arts and their story to be told what they did in America, or you are the person that hasn't been recognized for what you've done in your work, what you've done in martial arts in America, it doesn't have to be sport karate, just martial arts. And, you know, you don't have to be a master. Just someone that, and this year, I know this for sure, this is not a rumor anymore, he's going to be honoring the youth this year. There's going to be a special contribution and tribute to the youth this year. So you have someone that's a young teenager that's an up-and-coming black belt, get them involved. Call. Again, that number is 919-618-8075. Now, my host tonight, again, is a very special young lady. I met her at the Black Belt Magazine Festival many years ago, and I met her lovely parents, too. And, you know, she's been training with a lot of cool people, but she met Bob Wall, particularly Bob Wall, the great Bob Wall from Enter the Dragon fame, at 11 years old. And, you know, at 13 years old, she became a black belt. That's right. And she started taking other styles of martial arts, and she started studying Shaolin Ryu and Nishi Goju Ryu. She studied Muay Thai kickboxing, and she also studied the soft art of Tai Chi. You know, she also began I've got a tongue tied because, you know, it's Christmas. I cannot lie. I've been drinking eggnog with a little bit of cream in it, and I hope you guys forgive me tonight. So I've got a little tongue twister tonight. She began bodybuilding, okay, in 2010 and 2013, and she began the style of Shinkendo in 2015. She also studied JKD and Kali. And for the people who don't know what JKD is, that's Jeet Kune Do. That's Bruce Lee's personal style that he developed. They call it the way of the intercepting fist. And two of her most personal instructors that I know of, personal friends with, one was John Sharkey, who teaches Shaolin Ryu, and that's who she trained with, along with XMA and Michael Chat. But she trained in a JKD with Leo Fong. And really an amazing young lady, and I'm going to bring her on here right now. So, Lara Key, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. So, Lara, how are you? You're that new generation of champions, and you know you're smart, you're pretty, and you're dangerous. I love it.
That is far too kind of you. I appreciate that. That's so sweet.
Well, you know, I do believe that because I know you train with two of the most prominent people in the martial arts, my dear friend John Sharkey and Leo Fong. So if they rubbed up on you just a little bit, I know how dangerous you really are. But, you know, I want to talk about – yes, ma'am.
Oh, I was just going to say they're great folks, and it's been an honor for me to be able to train with them.
Yes, and we're going to talk about them a little bit later. But, you know, for my interviewers who don't really know who you are, I want them to get to know you. So kind of tell me how you started in martial arts and who was your first influence and who did you make black belt under? Three questions.
Okay. So, you know, when you're a kid, sometimes things kind of line up in a really silly way because that's what piques the interest of children. So basically, I had a friend who could do the splits, and I was like, oh, no way, that's awesome. How'd you learn how to do that? And she was like, oh, I take karate. And I was like, cool. Because it was really funny. My mom had been asking me. She just kind of had that mother's intuition about it. But she'd been asking me for years, like, how did you feel about kind of joining karate? Like, she knew I wasn't really into the ballet as much, and she tried putting me in that, and it was too girly for me. So, I mean, you know, I actually just got into it because of my friend, and I was like, all right, fine, I'll go ahead and try it, and it stuck. So, let's see. I first trained with a local guy named Jimmy Hayes, and that was my first ever instructor. He was really great with kids. A lot of fun, just made class it was a huge social event, it felt like, every single time, you know, when you're kids,
that's
and you kind of make friends
to have
with
a
everybody.
Fun class. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
You have a fun
Absolutely.
Class. If you don't have a fun class, it's just, you know, but you also got to have the technical, which I know you have too, but yeah. So he made it a fun class for you, huh? That's great.
Yeah,
was it a big class?
He literally... He provided a family environment right from the get-go. So that's, you know, we felt like family the entire time. So, and then shortly
right.
after that is actually when I met John Sharkey. But I actually got my black belt through Jimmy when I was 13. So I trained from age nine, till about a little after I got my black belt. And then he actually referred me to one of his friends to work on my kata a little bit better. And
what year was that you made black belt for Laura?
I'm pretty sure that was 2004, because I remember turning 13 in 2004, and I got my black belt, like, right after I turned 13.
Were you a black belt at the Black Belt Magazine Festival?
Let me think. I don't think I quite was, because I think the first one was in 2004, wasn't it? And then the next one was in 2005? Am I right?
We only had one,
maybe
honey.
I'm off.
Remember, we only had one. We only had one. Yeah,
I think
one.
I'm thinking of Black Belt Magazine. They had one that we went to in Long Beach, I think, one year. And then the other one was
the one
at Universal
they had one.
Studios.
The Black Belt Magazine Festival had one, and it was in Los Angeles.
Right. That was in, was that in Universal?
Well, that's where I met you at. No, it wasn't Universal. You're thinking about Super Grand.
Huh. Well, that was the one that you and your team got on stage and did demonstrations at, right?
That was Super Grand. Oh, no, you're right. I did demonstrate with Black Belt Television. You're right. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm just trying to figure out what year it was so I can ask you how your Black Belt test was. How long was it and what did you go through?
Oh, it was not that, like, super grueling. It was like a few hours long. I mean, it wasn't like an all day thing, but you know, for being 13, it was really challenging at the time, you know? So I'm already a very anxious person. So it really shot me through the roof. And so I basically had to spar the black belts and, do my kata. And I can't remember what else we were working on at the time. I think that's pretty much all we did at that school. Was
when
really
did you,
just
when did
on
you meet
kata
John Sharkey? When did you meet John
that
Sharkey
was,
in Chicago?
Okay, so basically I met the XMA team at the same time that I met you. So
okay.
I actually, see, who was it? I'm pretty sure it was, you know, Matt Mullins and Craig Henningsen and those guys.
Okay.
And then got really interested in, like, how they did what they did, because I thought that was completely new and different and fun, and I was on the
Absolutely.
Path to pursue acting, and I saw that they were too, so I was like, well, hey, these are the kind of people that are like-minded, and they have the similar goals that I do, so kind of started seeing what they and their team was about, and that's kind of how I met John Sharkey, and let's see, how did that go? And
what
I know in 2000...
When you met John, what did you think about him?
I think he's really quiet, and it's almost like he gives you this sense of knowing. Does that make sense? He kind of just comes off like a really
good
observer.
You realize how good he was?
See, I never got
really
to see him perform, but I imagine, because he looks like he's
yeah.
the guy that observes the whole room and will know exactly
coach.
What's about to go down.
Yeah, he knows he's known as a great coach, but I can tell you from experience, he was very good. But see what's really cool about that history, and I will go back to you in just a moment, is that, you know, the AKA was formed by a man named Ernie Deeb. And Ernie Deeb started the American Karate Association. And it developed people like Sam Chapman, my first American karate instructor, and Mike Sullinger, and Bobby Tucker, and it created a lot of cool people. And then John got it. He took over the AKA, and he created the Warriors Cup, and it became history. Of course, it's one of the largest master karate tournaments in the country now. And so whenever I thought about
that.
You, I thought about John Sharkey. I thought about Solara Key. I thought about Craig Henderson and Michael Chad. You know, all you guys are in my head together like a big rumble. So that's cool.
Well, that's,
so how much MMA?
That's how I met him.
How much MMA did you train in? How much extreme martial arts did you train in with Michael Chad?
Not much. I mean, before I ever started martial arts, I did do gymnastics. But the problem with that is I was made for kicking. So I literally, every single time I would ever try to learn a back handspring or anything like that, would kick whoever in the face that was trying to help me. And it literally just happened because it just was one of those things where, you know, I guess I was really meant for more of that kind of martial arts instead of, you know, being able to do like the gymnastics and things like that, because I just could not find a way to kick somebody on accident, and I was just not sure exactly how that worked, but it just kind of led me in the direction I was in. But it was really fun training with them. I'll say that they have, like, I don't know if they're still doing it or not. I have not kept up with them, but I know that they
they're
I was 14
every year I see them at the Super Show. XMA is crazy. And the franchise, Mike, I'm so proud of Michael Chanareba, and we call him Michael Chat. But his real name is Michael Chanareba, but it took me forever to learn to say it. It took me forever to learn how to spell it. But, you know, his Filipino descent, but he's amazing. He was so perfect when he performed. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah,
but anyway,
they're all super crisp.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what was your most prolific win? What was your best tournament and the one that you remember the most?
Probably have to be Bluegrass Nationals when I met Bob Wall.
Tournament. Yeah.
Can you repeat that?
Did you meet Mr. Eubanks before he passed?
I knew he put the Bluegrass Nationals on. I don't know when I exactly met him, but I had met him through my first instructor because he was familiar with him pretty well.
Marty, his son, does it now. And
He took over Bluegrass?
Yes, his son took it over many years ago after Miss Eubanks passed away.
I remember that. That was terrible.
A lot of major tournaments, a lot of major champions won that tournament. That's a good tournament to have won. Now, was your favorite fighting or kata?
Well, when I was a kid, it was definitely sparring and fighting, But then I think the older I get, the more respect I have for kata, because it's just a really nice way to practice. I've gotten a little more into having some kind of daily practice to keep my head healthy. I think that
what kata did you run?
Well, when I was a kid, we did, like, Bai Sedai, and I can't remember which one I was working on. Can't remember anything besides Bai Sedai.
Bai Sedai, Bai Sedai.
Those, and then recently I was doing Shinkendo, so those were different forms. What were we doing in that?
System. Kendo, is it, you're doing it with a sword, or is it karate, Shinkendo?
It is kind of a new style. There's a gentleman who came to, his name is Obata, and he came to the United States
and
pioneered that.
Are you talking about Okinawa Obata? O-B-A-T-A?
I think so. I think he was actually in a movie with Brandon Lee, if I'm not mistaken. We talked about that. We weren't quite sure, but I think I saw something.
I'm thinking about the Obata Shonu guy that had all his fingers cut off. Maybe the same guy. Yeah. Remember, I'm an old guy, so so I think I'm too old stuff.
I'm trying to remember. Let's see. I think his first name, if I can find it in a jiffy. I am not entirely sure. It's been so long since I did that. Toshishiro. Toshishiro Obata.
Toshishiro Obata. Yes. I do know the name. Very impressive. Cool. How long have you been training with that?
Well, that I did from 2015 to about mid 2016. That was a professor that taught at MTSU who trained with Obata Sensei. So he got to train us.
Yeah, the reason why
the
I know
Japanese
that.
Program.
So Lara, the reason why I know that is that my instructor in Hawaii, his first name is Toshiro. T-O-S-H-I-R-O, Toshiro, yes. So that's why I picked up on that. Toshiro Obata is a well-known Japanese person, absolutely. Now, Okinawa, Japanese, so cool. Now you, I saw where you trained in Nishi Goju, too. Who did you train in Nishi Goju with?
E.J. Greer. He was out of Nashville, so that's had a school that he trained out with, a guy named Max Scruggs, and that's who I trained with in that department.
Well, you know who started Nishi Goju? Mr. Peter Urban? Did you know that history?
Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
Mr. Peter Urban created Nishi Goju. You remember him?
I have not. I mean,
let me share with you a little bit. Peter Urban, okay, was Goju under Yamaguchi Sensei, okay, Goshin Yamaguchi. And here's the story. Peter Urban wanted to become a tenth-degree black belt, so he traveled to Japan, and he went to Japan to request to become a tenth-degree black belt, and Yamaguchi said no. He said no. He says, I'm not going to promote you to 10th-degree black belt. So Peter Urban came back to America, proclaimed, literally was probably the very first American to proclaim a 10th-degree black belt to himself, and created Nishi Goju. Now, it's an incredible style. I mean, incredible people like Frank Ruiz. I mean, the lineage is incredible. Julio Nimes, there's so many people that train in Nishi Goju from that beginning level under Urban and his off-ranch. So that style has gotten so popular and so well-known throughout the years. And it's interesting because the lineage that you said to your gentleman that trained you, he's probably definitely under that lineage. You really get to talk to him. That's the time that you talk to Professor Gary Lee about Peter Urban. So it's cool. And
that is really cool. That makes a lot of sense, actually, because we were learning about Yamaguchi. He would stand on us when we were doing our 6 inches off the ground, have our feet 6 inches off the ground for abs. He'd stand on us and ask us about the Nisei Goju history, and I'd be like, I can't talk. You're standing on me. being 14 years old, like, what is going on? But, you know, it was a really good series of training.
Yamaguchi was known to do two things that was, you know, the folklore, and one was stand underneath the waterfall and do kata for days.
I've heard of that. It's like aesthetic training.
Underneath the waterfall.
Like,
now imagine the not only the waterfall, but the coldness and the, just imagine. And all he did cotton sheens and kata, breathing kata. And then the other rumor that, you know, and people live by these rumors, he said that they threw a tiger into his jail cell. And the next morning, the tiger was dead. So
that's crazy.
You know, it's kind of like Oyama and the bulls, you know?
Right.
The folklore that goes along with that. So, hey, let's go to that. Let's talk about Leo Fong, my real brother and probably my mentor. How long did you train with Leo, and how did he influence you?
Well, Mr. Fong and I don't get to see each other very often, sadly enough. I feel like he's, you know, a part of my family. Just from how many times we've been out to LA and have gotten a train out there. But it really was just any time we were out there, he and I would do a little bit of like energy boxing or, you know, like what he does and film
Ain't
part
he cool?
of his shows
I mean,
and
to
movies.
Be 89 years old. I think he's 89 now. He might be 90. Heck, I don't know. I mean,
he's
so
a firecracker.
Cool.
He doesn't quit.
Man.
I love it.
You know, I got to tell you this. 1982. In fact, I'm looking at the trophy right now, Solara. In 1982, I was chasing Karate Illustrated points, and I flew out to Ron Martini and Leo Funk's tournament in Stockton, California. And guess who picked me up at the airport? Leo Funk.
Who picked you
and
up?
He took my luggage. He took my luggage. That was back then when you didn't have to go through all the TSA and all that stuff. He met me at the counter, took my luggage, treated me like I was somebody important. And I was on the plane with Jean Frenet. Remember Jean Frenet from Canada? It was his first American tournament. And he treated us so sweet. He took me up to my room. I'll never forget this. And asked me if I needed anything. And, of course, it was just an incredible experience because I never met him before. And then I ended up living
right.
in Modesto, California, which is down the street from Stockton. So I would go and visit him and Mr. Martini. And so years go by, and finally when I started working on the Sport Karate Museum, he put two and two together, and it was really cool. And, I really love him to death. I love him to death. I used to carry, you remember the Silam Pai, the style that he taught?
I think so.
He wrote a book. Yeah, he wrote a book, Solara, called Silam Pai, Kung Fu. And I used to carry that book around with me everywhere. And the karate guys I hung out with, they would make fun of me because I was doing movements from Silam Pai that I would copy from the book. You know, back then, karate didn't mix with Kung Fu at all. You know, he just didn't do it. And I remember that. And I remember taking him to lunch one day years ago, and I blamed him on that. And he was so funny. We laughed. So I love Leo Fong. And I'm glad you got to influence him because, again, when I think of him, I think of you because you influence, I know you guys are friends. So that's cool.
That is quite an honor. Thank you.
Cool. Now, you did some modeling, too. Tell me about that because I got some great pictures of you modeling. Tell me about that adventure.
Oh, well, thank you. Here and there, it wasn't like a huge career game for me. When I was younger, I definitely wanted to be a part of it, and I was lucky enough to meet a group of gentlemen that ran a company called Sambon Pro Apparel and Sambon Gear. They actually hand drew their own designs, and they were like kind of oriented with the Japanese culture, a lot of the different artistic aspects and aesthetic was based and centered around Japanese designs, like the agony and ecstasy masks and dragons and, things like that. They just were really, really nice people and said, hey, we're kind of just looking for somebody to help us out. And would you mind modeling some of our shirts and, getting us kind of, geared up for having these little pamphlets and being put on the website and just kind of, it was a really fun gig. And again, that's another group of people I think is a family from all around the world. I feel like changing to meet you included, absolutely. That, there's just people that kind of get into my circle, and I feel really blessed to have all these different influences, and it all kind of ties into martial arts. So that's the cool part.
Tell me about that picture I posted of you on the, for the radio show. You're wearing a black hood and you got your fist up. Is that a modeling picture what was that for?
Actually, that is a friend of mine. Yeah, my boyfriend actually introduced me to one of my new friends. Her name's Crystal, and she does photography. And no, that's me. It's just she took that picture.
Oh, okay, because that's you. I swear it's you. Well, I mean, unless it looks like your twin.
Doppelganger.
So that's really cool. What's the thing that I also posted on you that you against hate? I can't remember exactly what it is. It's the one that's on your picture. With the two dogs.
Oh, you're asking about the filter?
Yeah. What is that?
Okay, so, just to be blunt about it, there's no really easy way to say this, but there was going to be a hate rally in Murfreesboro, and I was not about it. So they were actually...
This is called Parts Unknown, Solara. Talk about anything you want to, honey. Go ahead.
Okay, well, they were white supremacists that were going to come into Murfreesboro and protest and, you know, wear swastikas left and right. And it was actually a really terrifying time because we had heard that they were going to have a torch rally on our campus, which is in Middle Tennessee State University. Has been around for 100 years in Murfreesboro, and they were going to come in with torches. And I mean, we were all just terrified. And that was, we actually kept them at bay, believe it or not, because of all of the people that kind of banded together. There was even local churches that were saying, we don't support this. We don't support people spreading hate. I mean, come on, like, it's 2017, almost 2018, and people are still having arguments about race. And it's like, what we need to do is kind of look at who's having the issues here and try to make that stop instead of, oh, yes, what about our issues? What about, our, you know, like, I just think that, like, when one person raises their hand and says, hey, I think this needs to stop, that doesn't mean that another group of people needs to feel shunned. That's not what this is about. And I think that they were very narcissistic, thinking that just because we have a certain group of people over here saying, hey, guess what? We don't have the same privileges. Nothing is equal. Nothing is really actually equal. That doesn't mean that this group over here who has had rights all this time should get angry because all of a sudden the people who do need rights are finally starting to get them. I don't understand that. That's, you know, I think that's very hateful.
It makes me very proud to hear you stand up for what you believe in, to be that young generation of champions, I said. And with that said, I have something I have to do to you personally right now.
Sure.
I hope you don't mind.
Yeah,
you,
sure.
You mind?
That's really great.
I have to do it. I mean, it's part of the show. I hope you don't mind, but I have to do it. And I've never done this before. And the year I've done this, it's the first time I've ever done this. But I have to do it because it just happens to be, well, it has to be done. So are you ready?
Absolutely.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Solara. Happy birthday to you. Hey,
Thank you. I've
never done that before on the air. Wow.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. That is such a cool experience.
The heck with hate. The heck with all the crazy stuff in the world. We got to pass
Amen.
On that love. And God bless you for standing up for that because, you know, I think the world has gone crazy, and I've got to ask this, I mean, because it's in the news, and, you know, and we're talking about different subjects. How do you feel what's going on in America right now with all this thing with the men groping and all that stuff that's coming out? I'm just curious how you feel about that.
Well, it's definitely got everybody fired up, I can tell you that much.
You think these guys have been kind of living in the Laurel and finally things are coming out, or you think it's a rich man? What, I'm just curious at your opinion, because I do appreciate your opinion.
I in no way do I advocate violence, but I do advocate martial arts, and that's why I want to support women being in martial arts, because it not only gives you the ability to cast off this kind of vibe about you that says do not mess with me or you will be sorry. And I'm not, like I said, I am not advocating violence in any way. But sometimes martial arts is all it takes to have a little confidence in yourself and to push out that I have conviction. You're not going to, you know, mistreat me. And I'm not in any way saying that these women were casting off any kind of a submissive vibe, but there are going to be certain people in the world. And I do believe that a lot of times complexes interfere with what's right and what's wrong. And people, I don't want to call it a mistake. I want to say that, like, these people are probably a little mentally ill if they think that they can literally just go up to somebody and touch them inappropriately or make them uncomfortable, and that's okay. I mean, I think we need to be a little more sensitive, and I think that's something that people see sensitive people as weak, and that's absolutely not true. I was with my coworker the other day, and she's also a very sensitive person, and I work around very sensitive people, and actually what we found out, she was reading something, and it said that sensitive people are not actually weak. They just observe more. They actually feel more. They pick up more energies from those around them, and that actually wears them out faster than, you know, the people who are kind of going around blind and not paying attention. I mean, that's why the world is so messed up right now, I think, because people are starting to really observe what has been going on all this time and how it's actually,
you know,
not okay.
I got opinions I just want to share with you. I saw today, I'm going to say who she was talking about, but I'm saying I saw a lady today. She's probably about 60-plus years old. And I'm thinking to myself, the only thing I thought about was, why would she come out and say the things she said and be knowing that she's going to expose herself to the world? And she was so credible, Solara. She was just like talking to your grandmother. I mean, that's how credible this woman is.
Yeah, right.
And I'm thinking, these women have been hurting all this time. And it's not one or two or three or four or five or six or seven or, you know, it really shows the character of the people that they're bringing out. So I kind of say this to it. I say, you know, God bless the women who stand up for themselves, and it doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as you stand up. Isn't that what we learn in the martial arts? No matter how much you get knocked down, no matter how hard it is, no matter when you think you can never reach that inch, it's taking that one inch and taking the step and saying, hey, I'm not going to take this, and I will stand up, and I believe in myself. And so I appreciate your opinion. I don't mean to go off into a subject of the news, but I do respect you, and I respect your opinion. So, you know, I'm going to take a little break here, and I'm going to do a couple plugs, and I'll be back with you. We're going to play the Legends Name Game to say some of your favorite people that you've come across, and you can talk about them. It's kind of like a fight. For 2 minutes, you get to say yay or nay, and I'll throw a couple surprises in there, so you'll be on the spot to kind of talk about them, and maybe you didn't expect to, but that's okay. That's what the fun part of it is. So we'll be back in just a minute. So you stay on the line with me, Solara?
Good to meet.
Okay, I'll be right back. Hey, everybody, I'm with Solara Key, the new generation of ladies champions. We're talking about a little bit of everything tonight, and this is our second to the last of the year show. Wow, I can't believe we've got two more shows to do, and we've done for the year. And I'm excited because 2018 is going to be a blast. We have so many things planned. You know, the opening of the year, our first guest will be the one and only Art Camacho, the movie director from Hollywood, whose incredible martial art career started with Eric Lee, and that's who his instructor is. And we'll talk about his start from the beginning to the incredible movie directions that he does now. But also 2019 is going to look at a lot of interesting adventures for the Sport Karate Museum. We're doing a lot of things that are different from other events. Of course, we have the Living Legends, and we have the Kata Wars, and we've added also what we call now the most fun you can have at a karate tournament called Bubble Kumite, and it's made for 10-year-olds and under, and breaking bubbles is a blast, believe it or not. But, you know, what we're going to be doing this year for Kata Wars, we're going to do something really special. We're having a women's symposium and to honor the women of martial arts. And, you know, I was looking through the email today to answer the email for tonight's show, and I found the email that kind of ties in that. But before I do the email, I want to share it with you. It'll be September the 28th and 29th. We're doing an incredible women's symposium, and we're going to be featuring and based around one of the most incredible fighters that women have ever produced in martial arts, and we're talking about Mikey Romore. She was an international champion. She was a national champion. She was the first woman, one of the first women, to actually teach martial arts in America professionally, and she trained so many people. And she today, as a senior student, still spars, still teaches, still travels around the country. Her and her husband, Dana, literally travels around the country representing the Sport Karate Museum. So we only feel that it's fair and it's exciting to honor this lady, to show respect to her. And just look her up, Mikey Roe Moore, on Facebook or the Internet or Google. She's an amazing lady. And throughout the year, you'll find out and you'll hear more about her. So that's what's going to be the Living Legends year. Living Legends 26, September the 28th and 29th in Houston, Texas, at the through the Houston Galleria. You know, that email tonight, and we're back with the email now with our show. This week I had 9 emails, and one particularly hit me because I am honoring the women this year with the Women's Symposium and the honoring of Mikey, and I found this one. This is from Miami, Florida, and it's from Floyd Miller, and he asks, why aren't there more honoring the women in martial art events? I go to events, and there's always an award for a man, and then one award for a woman. 30 men, 1 woman, I don't understand. Do you have the answer? Well, Mr. Miller, I really don't have the answer for that. I do can say and will say this, that the women are just as important as any man. I mean, there's no comparison, really. And I don't understand either when you get to an award and there's 30 awards for a guy and then there's 1 award for a woman. So, you know, maybe because the producer or the promoter hasn't really done his research. And but think about it. You know, the ignorance of producers and directors. We were talking about it the other day, and where actually I went to a grand championship and I saw a man win the grand championship and he got $300, and the woman won the grand championship and she got $100. That's a good example of the same thing about awards. You know, we need to get rid of that prejudice and realize that a champion's a champion. It doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man. It doesn't matter if someone has accomplished something, whether it be a woman or a man. If someone's a champion, they're a champion. In the martial arts, there's no difference. And it's taken years for ladies to get that respect. And I believe in my heart that things are going to change. It may have taken a long time, but for instance, this year with the Living Legends, we're honoring the women. And every 3 years, the Sport Karate Museum will honor the women. So I hope that answers your question, that I really understand why it's done, but we need to change that because the women are just as important as the men. Amen. So thank you, Floyd Miller from Miami, Florida. Well, we're going to come back with my special guest and play the Legends name game. And I hope she's still on the line. Solara, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I sure can. And, you know, I take just a few minutes to kind of ramble a little bit. I didn't used to do the you know, the mail or anything, but I get so many emails now. And I answer every one of them. I just don't put all of them on the air. I only do one a week. But I pick up the ones I think are the most fun to answer. But, you know, that's something I saw the other day. I don't want to get involved with the Legends name and take away from that, but I do want to mention this to you. Can you imagine you going for grand championship and you win it, and the guy wins it? And we're talking about fighting or kata. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if it's fighting or kata. And you see the producer give the man $300, but he gives you $100. But you just won the same grand championship. Wouldn't that bother you a little bit? It should. It bothers me.
I'd be really confused, to be honest. I'd say, like, no, wait, what was I even competing in? Was that the same thing, or, like, what kind of a show was it?
You would confront him? You would confront the producer and ask him why?
I mean, I think I would have to say something. I'm glad that you said something. That really meant a lot to me, because that's something I was going to say before the break, actually, is that I really want to shout out all the gentlemen in the world, because I feel really bad that there are people making women scared of men in general, or not just scared, but angry. There's anger, there's fear. And I think all in all, fear is the opposite of love. I don't mean to wax Yoda on us, but I think that's really what's going on in our country. A lot of fear, fear mongering. And I think that's how these people start to have these opinions about certain groups of humans, is that they are inferior, or other groups who are fed lies start to feel inferior, and this is just not the way it should be done. And I'm really, really happy to be talking to a gentleman right now who stood up, has been made to feel inferior for years and years.
Well, I don't understand. I can understand if it was in the 60s and 70s, and I really wouldn't understand it then. But I do understand because the producers maybe didn't have the money to produce tournaments. I understand it more than ever because I remember when we created Creative Kata. The promoters they didn't have the money to buy trophies, so they put the kids in with that division because they didn't think the division would last. And look now, the creative division is probably the largest division in every tournament in the country now. So, you know, I understand how producers have to save money. But what I don't understand is that a woman pays the same entry fee. A woman pays the same hotel expenses. A woman still pays the same airfare. A woman still goes to the same restaurant. A woman still goes to the same spectator fee for their parents to come watch them fight. I don't understand why a producer would not give the grand champion, but the grand champion, the overall champion of the tournament, the same amount of money, even though one's a man and one's a woman. It almost makes me mad, but I'm not. I'm just upset that I saw it. So, but who am I? I'm an old promoter, old producer that used to do things the right way. And I know what it takes to show respect. And, you know, a competitor is a competitor. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, all it takes is one person sometimes to make a change. I mean, seriously, that's why we're all here, is to do what we can. And I think that a lot of it's programming. I think that these people are programmed to think a certain way, and they don't think twice about it. And that's what it means to be conscious, is to actually take your life in your own hands, step by step, and it can be stressful.
Well,
let's
dig a little bit deeper before the Legends game, because we got just a couple minutes. It's not that the producer couldn't afford to give the lady the extra $200. It's because he chose not to.
He could have split it right in half.
You know as well, a tournament on the day of the event, whether it's pre-registration or not, with food and whatever, you're making $10,000 to $20,000 plus for a small tournament. For a major tournament, you can make much more. So you can't tell me that $200 is going to make a difference, yay or nay.
Well, and even if
so
it did, for any reason.
What I'm saying, he or she who decides to do that to the grand champion of the overall event chooses not to because, well, they're peckerheads. Excuse my language. You know, they don't know how to treat people. Okay? I mean, I'm, you know, that's a light way of saying it. You don't do that.
I hope someone listens
to a producer that understands that we're watching you, whoever you are, so you can't do that anymore. Give the woman or whoever who wins the grand championship the same amount, the same award, whether it be male or female. Okay? If you have a grand championship, they should get the equal award. Anyway, let's play the Legends Name game. First one on the list, the one and only, Bob Wall. Tell me about him.
Uncle Bob, I love him. He's a really, really big influence in my life because I got to meet people that helped me with my performance. If I wanted to get into acting, which I was for a long time, that was my main career path, was getting into acting and modeling. And it's kind of like what we talked about earlier with the XMA group. That's a lot of what they were doing. So. Yeah, Bob Wall was a really funny, meet cute at, you know, the Bluegrass Nationals that we were talking about earlier. My mom walked up to him, and she saw the poster, the, like, cardboard cutout of him as O'Hara. And she walked right up to him and said, "I hated you in that movie." And he laughed, and he said, "Well, thanks. That means that's I did some good acting in that movie then." So we were friends ever since, and he got me on with the Black Belt. So, yeah, I was 11 years old.
Well, that's funny. Okay, let me hit you another person, and I want to go right into it. Your mom, Elaine Key, and your dad. What influence have they been on you?
One more time, please.
Your mom and your dad, what influence have they been on you?
They literally pushed me to go anywhere I wanted to go. I mean, if I wanted a career in acting, then we scoped out L.A. I mean, we did scope it out for a long time. And it was such that I decided at the end of the day, amongst other things, that acting would probably not be, and unless it happened like very organically, just get discovered or something crazy like that, or some kind of like theater thing or just for fun. I just didn't want to be kind of going on interviews, or not interviews, but auditions, just as a career kind of for a while. And I was getting interested in some other things. So, but yeah, other than that, like just anything that I've ever wanted to do, they are my support. So that's absolutely something I don't mean to brag. I just am very blessed in that area.
No, you can brag. I love your parents. I love your dad. Your dad, you know, we talk about Sugarland and stuff, but your mom and I, we hit it off really well. And it's always cool to have cool parents. And I can
remember
when I met
you
guys.
They keep me sane.
What'd you say?
I said they keep me sane. I can tell you that much. We're called the crazy keys, but you don't take yourselves too seriously, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know, this year we did something very special for your whole family, your dad, your mom, and yourself. We actually, the Fort Carter Museum made you ambassadors. How do you feel about that?
That was such an honor, and we got so excited to come out and enjoy that. And seeing everyone, you know, get presented was such kind of just surreal experience, to be honest, just to kind of be in a room with a bunch of other martial artists.
Those legends, those people, the women. I had probably about 15 women there, including, you know, like five generations of fighters, of women alone, along with six generations of men fighters from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. What was it like being around those types of people? And, of course,
I didn't know a lot about it, but you were around it.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to think except for just, this is incredible. I don't even really I can't even think right now. Just at all. Do what now?
Did you get to walk through the museum? I didn't get to talk to you guys because, you know, we were so busy. Did you get to go into the museum and walk in the museum? Good.
That was really, really cool. Just getting to see, like, all the posters and the the different kinds of just things that were from, you know, different eras and people.
The best display of the overall exhibit, you know, in the portable display, man, we had stuff like Ray McCallum's groin cup, and we had O'Hara's patch, Bob did personally, and, you know, Mikey Rowe Moore's personal gi top. I mean, just Demetrius Golden Greek Advantis' personal gi top, the Golden Greek. I had just all kinds of stuff for this one. We had to make it special for the 25th anniversary. So let me ask you one more question dealing with the museum. What's it like knowing that you're 20-plus years old? We won't say exact age. I mean, I'll be a gentleman. But I will say that you're that new generation that, it's going to be up to you to carry it on and to let people realize that the people like Mr. Wall and Mr. Fong and Mr. Sharkey and Mr. Chanaretta Butt and all these other people will be remembered because, you know, someday it'll be, you know, you'll have to have that history. So I just want to ask you a question. How do you feel about that? You feel that's too much responsibility?
I want to say yes, but I can't because I feel like I keep getting guided back into martial arts. I mean, every so often I'll find a new style and I can't help myself and I have to start learning that. And I just don't think that it's ever going to stop because it's one of those things like, you know, when people say they catch the acting bug or when they catch some kind of like, you know, ballet bug or whatever their bug is.
I need people who are sharp, that have the old school martial arts but understand the new martial arts and also understand that it's not about money. It's not about fame or fortune. It's not anything about that. It's just about sharing the history with someone and say, look, you know, so I'm part of something really cool.
If we had my way, we'd be bartering if we had it my way.
I understand.
Money stresses me out, but I do think that there's a reason for it, you know, like everything else. But, you know, I completely understand where you're coming from with that. I don't really
let me just share this with you. I've done this since 1998, and it really isn't about anything except for one thing only. And I say it every time I write something. you listen and read everything I write. Protecting the history, one warrior at a time. And that really is it in a nutshell. So I don't like to deal with falsehoods. I don't like to deal with people who proclaim to be something that they're not. I don't like other people taking other glory over other people's accomplishments, which is really easy to do in martial arts because people forget, and they think that people forget, but people never forget. And
right.
Especially, I remember all of the people that beat me, but I don't remember hardly anybody I beat. Does that make sense? You know,
no, my friend instructed me the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Very same thing.
I don't, you know, the first place trophies, I look at them, I can't remember who I beat or won, but I can remember who beat me. For me, it's been that second or third place trophy. I you know, that's just the way the memory works. And martial arts is a part of it. So I want you to always remember that you're a very important part of martial arts, whether you're part of the sport, part of the game forever or not. Absolutely. So.
I appreciate
you know,
that. That's quite an honor.
Well, you're a very special lady. And I
Thank
believe in my
you.
Heart that you're the new generation and to make things happen. So what's the new Solara Key going to do with her new year ahead and your birthday? And your birthday was today or yesterday?
It was yesterday.
So what are you going to do with your new adventure ahead? What's new for Solara Key?
I am very excited to twist things up a little bit and start working more towards finding my center more permanently. I do think that there has been a lot that I've been introduced to, and I think that right now I'm working on kind of maintaining balance and making sure that I can spread that out into the world, because I think that's what everyone needs right now, and promoting having a certain conviction that is peaceful but firm. Because I do think there's a lot of people where I work, there's a lot of people that come in and they all have anxiety and they all have certain life stressors, or just the world is crazy right now. And so I just think that my main goal right now is to center myself and try to spread that balance into the world.
That's very, very interesting because, you know, one of my co-hosts, one of the people that runs the radio show with us on the network, I believe you really have a great time with her. Her name is, and you might have met her this year, Karen Eden Herden. She has a radio show about motivational. She's with the AMA Masters Radio Network, too. When you get in touch with Hansi Bowen and you communicate with him about the book and everything, ask him to also get in touch with Karen. Okay?
Okay.
And, she was there this year, and she writes for Taekwondo Times, and she's very highly motivated, motivational, almost sounds exactly like you and your balance theory.
That sounds great. It sounds familiar,
yeah,
too.
I love her to death. I think she's very, very focused. And here's something that is really strange that you talk about this. It's that this time of season, when everyone is joyful and happy and you use the word gay and lighthearted, there are also some people who are lonely, who are depressed,
yep,
who have no one or nothing. They've lost everything, maybe, like they were involved with Harvey. And so, you know, within the joy of what we talk about, and we talked about it earlier in the show, I also want to send out my prayers to everyone who is in need. And again, as I said earlier in the show, if you were listening, go to someone and give something. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you kept their lawn. You take out their garbage. Take them a present, if you like. It's a year of giving. I can't believe that the world is the way it is today, where you can actually walk down the street and not know what's going to happen and not know what you're walking into. That's how scary it is. So be prepared, but also be loving. And remember that, man, woman, we're here for you. And so, Lara, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for letting the show be a very spiritual show, too, a show of talking of interest, of talking, of sharing, of talking of opinions. And I'm going to let you say your last word, say something to my listeners, very personal, maybe for a holiday spirit. You got the air. Say something.
Well, I am really thankful that you brought me on because this is a very sacred and spiritual thing that you're doing, having this being passed down from one generation to the next and having a story that we maintain together, and what you were saying about all those fakers. And a lot of times throughout life, we meet people like that, and it's not about that. And eventually they'll learn, but you know, for now, it's all about just maintaining the truth. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you said about helping others. That was what our Thanksgiving was about this year, is bringing in people that didn't have, you know, a celebration or anybody to warm their hearts with. So I think that that's one of the most important things we can do right now as a society, is pay attention to what's going on, keep your guard up, but just try to keep your heart open as well.
Good words. Wise words from a young lady who just had a birthday. Happy birthday to you, Clara.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
What have you got planned for the holidays? With you and your mom and your dad are staying home, or you have family coming over? Turkey? What's going on?
We pretty much just eat, you know, yeah, turkey and have family time here at home, maybe watch the movies. And, you know, sometimes we have gifts under the tree, and sometimes we are the gifts under the tree, you know, depending on, you know, what's going on in our lives and what we feel is necessary and what we want to share with each other. So it just depends on that. But, you know, we're always just happy to be here.
Do you go out looking at Christmas lights during the Christmas time? Do you go to the house to house looking at the Christmas lights?
Yeah, I've really been enjoying that this year. It seems like there's been a lot more, and that could just be me, but I think that there's been a lot more lights around the neighborhood for some reason.
Yeah.
So it's kind of exciting because it seems like people are trying to bring a little cheer into the world. So I'm already getting giddy about that. Do you do that too?
Well,
do you go out and look at lights?
I love going to look at the lights. And as far as that balance that we talked about earlier tonight, and I want to kind of close out the show with that, is that I really believe the good, the fun, the joy, the love, the sharing, the ohana really outweighs that it really outbalances all the bad stuff. I really do. You know, I do my heart. I really do. You know, if you're positive, you talk about it, and you're just constantly in a positive attitude with around positive people, your influence, it'll be nothing but good things happen. I believe in my heart. That's the way it is. So
fear can't win. We keep pushing forward.
Yes. Well, with that said, I wish you a Merry Christmas. And I wish everybody a very, very, very good night tonight. And thank you for letting us come to your home and let me share Solara Key's journey in the martial arts. And with that said, don't forget, if you call in and ask for the book tonight during you listen to the show, you get it tonight for only $29.95. And that calling number is 919-618-8075. Now, if you want to get involved in the museum or get involved with it, please go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org or call me at 713-483-0476. Email me at ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com. Give me your ideas for the show. Give me ideas what you want me to talk about, some of the subjects that you'd like to talk about. I'd love to talk about it on the show and discuss it, and I appreciate your time. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next week with our last show of the year with the great Goldie Mack and a review of everybody we've interviewed. And mahalo. Merry Christmas.
Hi, it's Joe Corley with a quick offer for all of our friends here at the AMAA. As you know, we never get a second chance at our first impression. So for those of you who could use some help with your first impression on your Facebook pages, on Instagram, and on your website, we're offering a special discount here from our social media marketing warriors team. Take a note if you can and check Facebook at Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors page. Take a quick look at some of our videos, then reach out to me on Messenger and I'll be happy to put together a personalized sample video for you so you can see what the high definition video will look like online. That's Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors, and in your message, mention AMAA discount. I look forward to speaking soon. All the best.
Suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin, caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in a lack of drowsiness, improved productivity, and better cash flow from decreased coffee spending. Unexpected job promotions have been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may decrease the urge to zone out, doze off, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12. Do you suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin, caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in a lack of drowsiness, improved productivity, and better cash flow from decreased coffee spending. Unexpected job promotions have been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may decrease the urge to zone out, doze off, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.